If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, we've been going through the Beatitudes there in the first 12 verses, and I'm going to turn this over to the Lord and let the Lord use this. Father, most gracious God, we are coming to your living word, and Lord, we want to be mindful of that, that it is in your word we meet with you. It is in your word that your spirit changes us and transforms us. So Lord, let us not be mindful of the clock, but let us be mindful of what you're doing and want to do through your word this morning. We pray this, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, sometimes you can get really busy and forget to, like, even eat. I don't know if you've ever been that busy. Occasionally it's happened to me. I remember when I was young, I was in Boy Scouts, and our troop, one of the scoutmasters, his father-in-law had bought a farm. It had been an old farm. It hadn't been used as farmed in years. Somewhere along the line, somebody came in and fell or cut down a bunch of trees. And so this farm had all these trees cut down. We as Boy Scouts, we got to camp out on this farm for an entire summer, and pretty much every weekend we were out there, and sometimes through the week, and we were cutting wood, splitting wood, stacking wood. So that fall, we were able to sell the wood, and we made enough money that we were able to buy all new tents for our troop. We bought and stocked a new camp kitchen, and the following summer, everyone in the troop was able to go to summer camp paid for by the wood that we cut and chopped. We would get into it, I mean flat into it, cutting and splitting wood, and sometimes you just forget to eat. And then at the end of the day, now you're back at your camp, and you got to build a fire, you got to get the water, you got to get water boiling. I mean, by the time you sit down and actually eat, you know, you take that first bite, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm hungry. Have you ever realized that when you just start eating, all of a sudden, wow, I really was hungry. And how good food tastes when you're that hungry. You know, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to get that hungry. You get a little grumbling, and I'm in the kitchen looking at what's left over in the refrigerator. Hunger. Thirst. One of my favorite things to do right now is to cut grass, believe it or not. That's my safe zone. That's my empty box. I get out on a lawnmower, and I got one thought, drive straight. Just, you know, I fix my eyes on a distant point. Yeah, that and don't run over anything, so I guess there's two thoughts. You know, I mean, you don't want to mow over everything. And sometimes you get out there, and the sun is beating down on you, and you just drive straight, and then Dana's always asking, did you take water with you? Take water with you. You need water. And I usually don't take it with me, and I eventually stop, and I'll go in the house, and the dust has been kicking, and grass clippings are flying, and you know, and I get that water, and you know, and just the dryness and the dust and the moisture, you're just like, I'm coming back to life. You know, we need food. We need water as people, as humans. You know, we can last. I mean, Mahatma Gandhi went 21 days on starvation, not eating anything. Occasionally, he's just taking small sips of water. So we can last at least 21 days, 3 weeks without food. I don't want to last 3 minutes, but, you know, we can do it. Water's a different story. I mean, an average adult is 60% water. I mean, and our cells need water. It lubricates our joints. It keeps our things flowing. You know, we need water. You can possibly last about a week without water, but that's not typical. I mean, that's if you're out and working or out in sunlight or, you know, doing anything, 3-4 days is about as long as you're going to last without water. My question is, what do you hunger for? What do you thirst for? Verse 6 here this morning is the next of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. As we've pointed out in the past, there's a progression here in these statements. as Christians, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we are called to live a counterculture life. Not even if we're in Spain or in America. This is not our home. We are sojourners in a foreign land. We are called to begin with to be poor in spirit. And that ideal of poor in spirit is to recognize our own spiritual poverty and of ourselves. We have nothing to offer God. We must recognize our sin and our need of a Savior, because our sin has separated us from a holy God. We bow before God and acknowledge that we can't make it on our own. We can't save ourselves. We need Jesus to do that. And nor can we live out this life that He's calling us to on our own. It is by faith that we are saved, and it is by faith that we live this Christian life with the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Having come to God with a broken spirit, we then begin to mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn over those things that break God's heart. We mourn over our own sin. Not just that we got caught, but that we sin against a holy God. That mourning, that brokenness, is the first step in repentance, for true repentance. We mourn also over the sin of the world, that the world is the way it is and the condition that it is. And we mourn over the lost, those who are still trapped in their sin, slaves to their sin. And we mourn over the church when it fails to fulfill and carry out, or gets distracted from its mission of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to all. That leads us to meekness. See, broken spirit, poor spirit, that focuses on our sin. When meekness focuses on God's holiness. God is holy. And so I come to this holy God through Christ, through faith, not to advise Him, not to give Him an agenda, but to submit to Him, to His will, to His plans, to Him. We come meekly in submission to Him. We come having seen God for who He is and who we are. And that brings us now to this morning. You are called to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness, in a sense, means being right with God. And it involves two aspects, really. There is the judicial aspect of righteousness, that we are declared right before God because of what Christ has done. That our alienation, our separation from God has been dealt with when Christ died on the cross and we put our faith. And the judgment and the penalty and the courtroom of God, is all of that has been placed on Jesus. And His righteousness has been given to us. So we are now right with God through Jesus Christ. That's justification. Righteousness deals with justification, that we're just as if we've never sinned. But righteousness also, the second aspect of righteousness is right living, that we live rightly with God and in God. That's the theological word for that is sanctification, that we are being set apart, progressively becoming more and more like Christ, that we desire, that we hunger to be more and more like Christ, that Christ is our righteousness. We hunger to be like Him. Hunger for Christ. You know, if we deprive our body of what it needs when we're hungry and thirsty, our cravings move us. to feed ourselves, to give water to ourselves. But what happens when we do the same thing to our spirit? What happens when we long for the joy of the Spirit or the peace that surpasses all understanding and do not place ourselves in a position to experience these gifts of God? We've spiritually starved ourselves. And this starvation, just like physical starvation, eventually leads to death. Now, I don't believe we'll lose our salvation, but we'll lose the blessing and the joy of our salvation in our everyday experience. We can never expect to maintain a relationship with God if we're not willing to nourish the Spirit and experience that relationship. Our souls are famished. Famished of the things that will provide us peace, that will give us what we need to make this journey in this hostile foreign land. And the result of this spiritual starvations are alarming. We as the church, and I'm speaking universal, the church begins to accept sin, calling what is sin good. Church begins to turn a blind eye. Church begins to fail to stop putting an emphasis on reaching the lost. Put more emphasis on caring for ourselves. If we do happen to make an effort to witness to someone, they look at our own lives and say, I don't want anything to do with the message you're proclaiming, because the life you're living isn't consistent. People are looking for something deeper. People are looking for something more substantial. You know, I find it interesting that people read hundreds of these Christian novels are written. You go to the bookstore and they have shelves of them. And I give it, not that they're bad. They're better than a lot of other things you could be reading. And they're certainly better than just about anything that you're going to see on the TV today. But isn't it interesting that people can read book after book, story after story, and they will never read books that will teach them of the deeper spiritual life or how to encounter the Holy Spirit and to walk closer with God? See, so many of us have gorged ourselves on junk food, topical, and ignore the necessities that will provide our soul's nourishment. The nourishment we need that will satisfy our souls so that we may know and grow and show the love of Christ. When we ignore the need for spiritual fulfillment, our focus turns to the things of this world. We starve our spirits to the point of death, and we no longer acknowledge God and His work. We look to the riches and the wealth of the world. The world has to offer us, and place ourselves in a land of confusion, a place where we have everything we want and still live without real peace and joy, never having known true righteousness. There has never been a day when it is acceptable in God's eyes to ignore the necessities of our soul. Since the beginning of time, our spirits have needed this fellowship with God and an experience of His righteousness. Furthermore, it's never been the will of God to starve our souls by ignoring our spiritual hunger and thirst. God has provided what we need. We must look to Him for fulfillment. Things of this world are temporary at best. None of them can fulfill our eternal needs of our spirit. This world is but a moment, a flash, and it will pass away. Our efforts to fulfill our spiritual appetite with worldly things results only in futility and strife. They bring us to a place of weeping and mourning. But Jesus promises those who thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Our soul does not find fulfillment through the worldly goods, but in fellowship with God. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will not thirst. No matter where we set our sights or what we want to accomplish, God is still our sustainer. His righteousness is what brings us fulfillment. As we begin to understand our spiritual life, we find that our physical existence does not need to steer our spiritual life. But our spiritual life will always have a profound effect on the rest of our lives. Until the longing of our soul is satisfied, nothing else will bring us contentment. This is why we see such power within the spiritual life. While we must live with some of the physical characteristics, God has the power to transform us spiritually. He can bring about change in every part of our life by developing kingdom characteristics in our spirit through His sanctifying grace. The righteous character of God is the fulfillment of our hunger and thirst. As God promised, I will satisfy the weary soul of every languishing soul. I will replenish. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31:25. Our sanctification is a call to be placed on our lives, comes as we submit ourselves to God and we allow Him to dwell in us and establish His values and His culture within our hearts. We can search the world for all it has to offer, but unless we experience the righteousness of God in our hearts, we will never truly experience fulfillment or peace or joy. The fulfillment of God's people is as they walk with Him in righteousness is the one beacon of hope that exists for the lost and dying world around us. God desires to place His character in our hearts. And our fulfillment comes from an overflow of that character which pours from our spirit into the lives of those around us. It comes from carrying the culture of the kingdom of heaven wherever we go. Today's Christians are offered the peace that comes with knowing that whether we live have little or much, God is working through us. Our Creator has chosen you and I to be vessels of His culture and His kingdom. The psalmist writes in Psalm 37:17, better is the little that the righteous have than the abundance of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. That is why Jesus also told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We seek Him, all the other things will be added. We spend far too much time worrying about temporary things, even though Jesus promised that if we spend our days seeking righteousness, He will provide all that we need. We find our hope when we find ourselves hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's been said, we have as much of God today as we want. He's here and offers Himself to us. He offered His Son on the cross so that we can have access to Him. He's opened the door. And so many of us are at McDonald's drive-thru. We're eating junk food. We don't even recognize that our souls are hungry and thirsty. We're not seeking His righteousness. His righteousness to transform us and to change us. We're not seeking Him because we're busy with the things of this world. Paul the Apostle writes in Philippians 1:21. He says, "For me to live is Christ and die is gain. Christ is my all in all." What do you hunger for? What do you thirst for? Are you truly hungering and thirsting for Christ, for His righteousness? Can you say today that you are satisfied? This is the blessing that God promises us. Blessed are those who seek and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Father, most gracious God, we, your people, have been so distracted for so long that so many of us don't even recognize the hunger, the thirst that is within us, that our souls need to be nourished by the bread of life, by the living water, by your Son, Jesus Christ, that His character and your character would be manifest from deep within our souls as we strengthen our souls through the nourishment that you provide. Lord, help us to put aside the things of the world, the things that distract us, the things of our past. Help us to lay them down and to turn our attention and focus to you that we might seek you above all other things. Give us your Spirit and draw us near that we might be satisfied, satisfied in you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.